we will now convene the September 8, 2015 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings for Rental Program Cases. At the outset, I have reviewed and approved the minutes of our July 14 meeting. All right, before we proceed, we have any announcements?
Yes, sir.
No announcements. All right, well, those representatives of the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying this morning in proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, case number one, Gracie Donald J. and Dodge Carroll. Anyone here for the respondent? Okay, not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Good morning, Mr. Kelger. Anthony Jackson, appearing on behalf of the city for the rental ordinance program. And for case for this case, which is at 918 North Halifax Avenue, the property there is a duplex that was sold after the initial inspection. The inspector informs me that he's had contact with them. He's expecting compliance. He would like to give them to the next cutoff to come into compliance.
And our inspector is Mr. Betts over there?
Yes, sir.
And Mr. Betts, I'm looking at this list of insufficiencies, and I assume that's all true and correct based on your investigation.
The items that are cited were present at the time of the inspection. To date, everything's been repaired except for the driveway. He still needs to add the additional parking space. He plans to have that addressed within the next 3 weeks or so.
And you think they should be able to come compliant by the next cut?
They should be, yes. The only possible difficulty is he said he's he's moving this month, but he expects to have it done within 3 weeks. So should be in compliance by the next cutoff date.
All right, noting the absence of the respondent based on the presentation of counsel as well as the evidence presented by our inspector, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by October 7, 2015 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number two, Seabreeze on the Halifax Limited. Anyone here for the respondent? Yes, sir. Please state your name and be sworn.
Yes, I'm Sean
Deesney. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And your last name again?
Deesney.
Deesney?
Yes.
Can you spell that, please?
D-U-S-Z-N-Y.
Okay, and Mr. Deesney, your affiliation with Seabreeze on the Halifax Limited?
I'm one of the managers.
Okay, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent in non-compliance. All right, give me a moment. Let's talk to our inspectors to see how much time they think it should take in order for the respondent to come into compliance.
I'll turn to Mr. Betts to discuss that with you.
Yeah, sure. I'll just share the mic with you. Okay.
Sure.
This property has a long list of deficiencies. We're requesting compliance by the December 2nd cutoff date. We'd like to have a status update at the next October 13th hearing date, however, but with compliance on December 2nd.
Have you cured your no access to apartment 1 yet?
No.
Okay. So then you're still things that you need to get in there and look at?
Correct. Apartment 1, yes. It's very possible apartment number 1 might be eliminated. He has to eliminate 2 apartments in this building. So I believe that apartment 1 might be assimilated with another apartment.
All right. Just want to make sure we're all aware of all these things. So you're proposing a status update on October 13th, and then the respondent ought to be able to come into compliance by December 2nd.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's say Mr. Deesney.
Yeah, I've been working with the city. We're trying to get everything all resolved.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, I'm going to order that this matter be returned to the special magistrate on the October 13, 2015 meeting for a status report. I further order that the respondent come to compliance by December 2, 2015, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Okay, Mr. Doozy, you start running behind, stay in touch with your inspector. He'll be your best friend. If you start running into snags, just as long as he can verify, you stay in touch with him.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Appreciate it.
Case number three, Beach, Brett, M. Anyone here for the respondent? Anyone say the city?
Mr. Kelger, on this property, the inspectors informed that the property remains non-compliance. The respondent is working on it. The respondent had to evict a tenant, which seems to be, at this point, a contested eviction, and so the inspector is requesting that compliance be met by November cutoff to allow for the time for the eviction. And again, the inspector is Mr. Betts, and he is present. And I tender him for any questions you may have.
Okay, and Mr. Betts, once again, these are all the violations you noted when you conducted the inspection?
Correct, yes.
All right, Dave, given the absence of the respondent, presentation to counsel, the evidence presented by Mr. Betts, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to commit to compliance by November 4, 2015. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Case number four, GEA Seaside Investments Incorporated. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, Jane West with Jane Westfall. How are you this morning? I'm here on behalf of GEA Seaside Investment, Inc. As to the first piece of property on the agenda, 433 North Peninsula, GEA Seaside Investment, Inc. did not receive proper notice. The case number R12015-0029 notice claims that the first notification date to be the most recent order of noncompliance. It's dated June 12, 2015. However, the eTracket claims case was open on July 14, 2015, and there has never been an additional notice after that. But as a larger issue here, all of the claims against GEA Seaside Investment when it comes to the rental inspection program, as you may already know, were subject to litigation in a federal court case, and that was a federal court case CV 014-28 in Orlando, Middle District. Everything that's being claimed right here is barred as a matter of res judicata and collateral estoppel. Yes, it has. It was settled with the city of Daytona Beach. So by virtue of that settlement agreement and the release that my client executed and the payment of attorney's fees, these notices, which predate that, are completely inappropriate.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Kelger, I haven't had any communication at all from the council representing GEA Seaside. I know that they, in the litigation, has had communication with the city, but as it relates specifically to these code violations, I have not had any. So I have no opportunity to anticipate what she's discussing now in terms of the issues of race judicata and estoppel. And so not having a whole lot of knowledge about the actual outcome and not being involved in that aspect of the litigation, I'm not really able to speak to that except to say that these violations are continual violations. So even if there was a circumstance where they have been possibly addressed in a prior litigation. They are reoccurring and continuous each day that they are non-compliant. So once again, if they have been remedied, then they are now restarting once again. Nevertheless, what I would ask to do is continue this case to be able to get that information, follow up with counsel, see if indeed I agree or disagree with the status as they're recommending. As she asked the question or the statement regarding notice, the city's position is along with the statutory position, is that once they have a prior violation, their notice is now their prior violation, that this type of violation cannot reoccur again without them being subject to fine. This is, as I just stated, a reoccurring violation. It is subject to fine, and that's why it's on now notice as being subject to fine, although regardless of when it arose. If it arose yesterday, it still would be subject to fine. That's pursuant to Chapter 162.
But I guess what counsel is telling you is you had a case that was pending and then settlement was entered into, and it sounds as though you're a little unfamiliar with the terms of that settlement agreement, and I am absolutely unfamiliar with the terms of that settlement agreement. And so then the question that arises is whether these cases have been disposed of or have any continuing vitality, and I'm not prepared to make a decision on that basis right now. So my inclination would be to continue these matters to the next meeting until you had an opportunity to look into what she suggested. And if somebody wants to send it to me, I think I'll be reading it for myself as well. Are you suggesting all the GDAC side cases have been settled?
Yes, every GEA Seaside Investment Inc. case that had to do with a violation pertaining to the ordinance on the rental inspection program was a subject of, that was the cause of action in the federal litigation. So because you have the identity of parties, identity of the causes of action, it's barred by res judicata and collateral estoppel. Now, if the code violation was something particular in terms of, you know, a soffit needing repairing, that's outside of the scope of that litigation, and so we would not take that position. But these two violations that are on the agenda today fall directly within the purview of that litigation.
All right, well, that's the contention, Mr. Jackson. I'm proposing to continue it to give you an opportunity to fully respond.
Well, I have been informed that Mr. Jagger, who is the attorney who handled this matter for the city, is on his way. If we can delay the proceeding, I don't know if that would be something that can assist us in resolving it today. Bob Jagger, who is the counsel for the city, who represented the city in this litigation. In fact, there he is. Well, if I can have a moment to speak with him. Mr. Vakelj, I'll go ahead and call Bob Jagger, who is the counsel for the city of Daytona Beach, who handled the matters and litigation that's being referenced.
Good morning. Robert Jagger, deputy city attorney.
Yes, sir.
I guess
Ms. West has suggested that they're generally aware of the fact that there was litigation between GDA, Seaside, and the city of Daytona Beach. I have to confess, I don't know much more about it than that. In any event, she's saying, or she has suggested, that litigation is now been settled, and that would bar any further proceedings with regard to, I'm assuming, cases that are already of record that involve the rental program cases. Have I overstated that? Or?
No.
That sounds close enough. What's it to say?
Well, I was the attorney representing the city in that matter. It was an as-applied and facial constitutional challenge to the rental ordinance. That case was resolved by a voluntary dismissal with the plaintiffs agreeing to pay the city's court costs in that matter. It didn't dismiss any of the underlying violations or citations. It simply had to do with the ordinance itself. So it didn't in any way relate to code violations in that way.
Ms. West, I guess it's your turn. I'm hearing that you challenge the validity, the constitutionality of the rental program case, and counsel is suggesting that's the sum total of it all. It has nothing to do with individual cases.
That's in a way correct. And like I mentioned before, if it was an individual code violation having to do with an actual defect of the particular real property that needed to be addressed, that'd be one thing. But if you take a look at the violations for both 308 North Peninsula and 433 North Peninsula, the sum total of the violation, the content, the substance there, is a failure to license under the rental inspection program, which was the exact cause of action in the federal litigation. So when you have the identity of parties, which we have here, and you have identity of issues, which we have here, those claims are barred, as you well know, under res judicata and collateral estoppel. So, you know, we can slice this any way you want, but I think what the city attorney just mentioned to you feeds directly into what I have been arguing, that this is barred.
I thought I just understood counsel to say there was no identity of issues involved in the litigation.
The sole issue in the federal litigation was the federal the rental license program. That was it. It did not pertain to individual code violations. It had to do with the rental inspection program, which is the exact violation that we are dealing with here on both of these. It was settled. It was fully litigated and settled. As the city attorney mentioned, the parties entered into a settlement agreement. I believe it was in June. There was a release that was executed by my client. There was a payment of attorney's fees, and with that settlement and a voluntary dismissal as part of that settlement, there was a very clear understanding that this would not proceed. So I guess that is the issue here, whether it is appropriate for us to now consider violations that date back to 2014 that certainly were subject to the scope of that federal litigation.
Mr. Jackson, as the special magistrate, what's the scope of my purview here? Am I supposed to entertain dueling lawyers and then make a legal decision on the basis of their presentations?
I would say the answer is yes.
Okay, that's fine. And I'm continuing this till next month's meeting in the interim. And what I hope to see at the next meeting is the settlement agreement we're talking about. And y'all are welcome to bring.
I have that feeling like it now.
Well, in all fairness to Ms. West, I'll give her an opportunity to come back and argue again, but I would like to see, anyway, I'd like to see the settlement agreement, and you all are welcome to present anything else you want to show me. I'll tell you right now, I'm kind of skeptical that it would be as all-encompassing as you're suggesting, but I'll decide next month.
Thank you.
Mr. McKelvey, if I can just ask one question of Ms. West before she leaves so I can have clarity on their position. Is the position that these items are barred to the extent that even if there is no, if they do not obtain, if your client does not obtain a rental license, that he could never be cited?
If the violations predate this litigation, yes. Obviously, that doesn't pertain to violations that happen after this has been fully litigated. But that's not what we're dealing with here.
That's what I'm assuming she's saying.
Okay.
I don't think she suggested this argument goes on in perpetuity.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, case number 4 and case number 5, GDAC Site Investments Incorporated regarding 433 North Peninsula Drive, and GEA Seaside Investments, Inc., 308 North Peninsula Drive, will be continued to the Special Magistrates October 13, 2015 meeting. And y'all are welcome to send me anything before then that you might want me to review.
Mr. West, I may. Just so you agree that this is a copy of the I will get that to these details if you just want the opportunity that it is a copy of the order. I'd like to see
it. I'll take a look at it and get back to you before October 13th when Mr. Yeager has the contact information. Thank you.
Okay. Nevertheless.
All right. We have
not mine, too. I'm sorry, Mr. Lagazza.
Do you have any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
Is that everything? Just a moment. No, nothing further.
All right, well, Ms. West left in a rush. I wish she would stay, but I just want to make it clear. This discussion only pertains to whatever pending violations are outstanding at present. I don't see the city being hampered at all going forward as far as enforcing whatever they need to enforce with regard to anyone, GEA, Seaside Investments, and corporate. So I want you all to think that you're effectively stymied from doing your business. I don't consider that to be part of the discussion.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and with that, we'll adjourn the special magistrate proceedings with regard to rental program cases. We'll adjourn for